Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Jeremy Comport. He is a sales broker, actually, and director at Ocean Independence. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm good. Thank you, Rhea. Good morning.
Good morning. And where are you located at the moment?
I'm generally based in the south of France in Golfe-Juan, which is just between Antibes and Cannes. And we're on the Port Camille-Rayon, which is quite a modern port. And we're right on the dockside, very close to the Capitainerie. So right in the thick of the action and a great place to live.
Well, tell me a bit about yourself. I mean, you are the son of a naval architect. You've worked on yachts as a teenager into your 20s, I do assume. Then you headed off to south of France and became a broker, and then off to Hong Kong. What brought you back? What got you into being a broker in the first place?
Well, it's opportunity, I would say. My initial passion was actually, as a teenager, was snow skiing. And basically, I worked on the yachts to fund the skiing in the winter because I was touring and competing. And then one thing led to another. I hung up my skis, so to speak, and realized I needed to become a bit more serious and make a living. So I stayed down on the yacht I was working on and looked after a couple of other yachts on a gardenage basis during the winter to make ends meet. And one of those yachts got sold. And the broker at the time offered me a position to look out for boats for sale, to try and list some yachts for sale. And that's how it all started. And then after a couple of years working out of Antibes in the yacht brokerage office, I was approached by Azimut Benetti, the builder, to go and work with them in Hong Kong. And I decided to take the opportunity. I'd never been to Asia and thought it would be a great adventure, and literally packed up my bags. And a couple of months later, I arrived in Hong Kong with my worldly possessions, including my faithful mountain bike, which people thought was a bit strange arriving in Hong Kong with a mountain bike, but it proved very useful in the end.
And so, how long were you in Hong Kong then?
So in total, I was there just over seven years. I worked initially for the Azimut Benetti dealer in Hong Kong, with very close links, obviously, with Azimut and Benetti at the time when they were growing extremely fast. And they also had Hong Kong Taiwanese investor who invested a lot of money in the shipyard. So there was a very close link with the shipyard to Hong Kong and the area. And then after a couple of years, I decided it was time to move on. And there was an opportunity to start a business with my business partner, Clive. And we set up a little company called Synergy Limited, a little bit of play on words with sea and energy. And we had a joint venture with a Hong Kong Chinese, a very renowned property developing company in Hong Kong. And they had a dormant agency for a yacht builder from Viareggio called Technomarine, which at the time was fairly prominent. And so we ran a joint venture to bring that dealership to life. And that worked really well, going backwards and forwards to Viareggio, supervising the build of the boats. And we built, I think it was seven or eight new Technomarines between, the smallest was 58 feet, and we went up to 92 feet, which at the time was a fair size yacht, and then organized shipping them into Hong Kong and delivering them to our predominantly Chinese clients in Hong Kong. And then we had the brokerage activity running alongside that.
And so where does Ocean Independence fit into that?
Well, there's a few years before that happened, actually, because I at the time I did a couple of brokerage deals with Camper & Nicholson's. And going back to my father's heritage, he was a sailmaker. He was a naval architect, but specialized in the rigs and the sails. And he supplied sails to Camper & Nicholson's shipyard in Gosport, which is where we were from originally. And I was approached by George Nicholson, who I'd met as a sort of youngster, sort of 10, 12 year old, tagging along behind my father. And they were interested in having some more brokers in the Cannes office. And basically the agreement was that I could keep my involvement with Synergy in Hong Kong and move back to Cannes and help bolster the brokers department there. So after about 18 months, the clock was running and they sort of put a bit of pressure and said, look, you need to come now or we'll fill the desk. So my newly wedded wife and I came across and started working out of Cannes and starting the business there. And then Ocean Independence, I mean, that came along. I was with Camper & Nicholson's 19 years. So a real company man. I was flying the flag and had some fantastic years going between Hong Kong and the south of France. So running the business, and Synergy sold a number of boats in collaboration with Camper & Nicholson's, and it all worked very well. And then my business partner, who was somewhat older than me, we were looking for a sort of exit route strategy, and Camper & Nicholson spoke to us on and off about buying out my partner, and the negotiations didn't go so well. And in the end, they basically reneged on the deal. And at that stage, I thought, well, it's time to look elsewhere. And in fact, I'd been watching Ocean Independence come through and very much on the progression curve, seeing the company go from strength to strength. I'd met Peter Hertzler, our founder and I would say CEO, chairman, all wrapped up in the one role, and very good broker as well, all amongst that. And I literally picked up the phone to Peter and said, look, Peter, we've had a couple of chats in the past and why don't we have another conversation? And basically Peter said, well, let's meet. He's based in Küsnacht, just outside Zurich, and we arranged to meet. And then within literally a few weeks and a couple of meetings with the board of Ocean Independence, we reached an agreement, and they took over Clive, my partner's shares in Synergy. I kept my shares for the first couple of years, just as a transition period. We didn't want to rock the boat anywhere. And Synergy kept running. And about a year ago, nearly exactly a year ago, in fact, the transaction completed, and the rest of my shares were transferred over to Ocean Independence, and we now have a fully fledged Ocean Independence office in Hong Kong. So in my role as a director of the company alongside the brokerage, I'm responsible for the Golf Juan office on a commercial basis, the Monaco office going a little bit further east down the coast, and then the Hong Kong operation as well.
Wow, that's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, it is, but it's very rewarding because we can see that, and it's something I brought across a little bit from Camper & Nicholson's, I would say. Although the brokers, be it charter brokers or sales brokers, can be somewhat independent, and a lot of the time quite secretive about what they're doing, the deals they're looking for and chasing, etc. We've really tried to open that up a little bit and provoke and facilitate interaction between the brokers and some team play. And that's really proving successful.
We see that there are very large cultural differences when doing business of any sort, let alone ultra high net worth individual business, but between, for example, the US and Europe. And you wouldn't think, because, you know, generally it's English speaking, it's, you wouldn't think there would be that much of a difference. But if there is that kind of difference between, for example, the US and Europe, it is worlds apart when you're looking at Asia. A lot of companies look to invest in Asia. It seems to be a market that is up and coming. It seems to be a market that is expanding. How do you approach Asia as a place to do business? Give us a run through, right from, I mean, the way you present your business card.
The cultural differences are massive, and particularly in the previous generation. And I would say the generation that we were dealing with when we started the business. And that's predominantly why we decided to go for a joint venture with a Chinese family, because we had the trust of this ultra high net worth family. We'd known them for a long time on a personal basis, and that gave us validation that we were trustworthy and knowledgeable, etc. And picking up on the presentation of the business card, I mean, you would literally hand a business card to the, not necessarily a client, even the assistant or whatever, two-handed with two hands and a slight bowing motion. When Peter came out and we had several meetings in Hong Kong, I kept saying to him, have you got plenty of business cards in your pockets? He said, yeah, I've got a couple. I said, no, you need more than that, because you do present a card. If you go into a meeting and there are six people all from the same company in the meeting, you will exchange cards with every single one of those people. Otherwise, it would be seen as offensive. And there are a number of other customs and subtlety, and when someone pours tea for you, you tap with two fingers on the table, and that's a sign to say thank you. And in fact, it replicates the bowing motion. But anyway, we could go on and on with that. But on a business level, it takes a long time to gain the client's trust. That's the main thing. You have to work very slowly, very quietly, and give plenty of advice, sound advice, and also not be tempted to sometimes give the answers that you think the client wants, because they're in fact actually looking for the truth rather than what they want to hear.
Asia in the past wasn't necessarily big for yachting. Why is that, and what has changed?
I think there was a lack of infrastructure. The newer generation, our generation, let's say, and below that, have been broadly, the affluent families have sent their children away, whether it's Canada, US, the UK. A lot of UK schools had a lot of Chinese and Hong Kong Chinese clients coming through, and Singaporeans, etc. So our generation and going on from there, many have been educated overseas in some of the top schools and universities, and they've been exposed to the yachts, to the lifestyle. If they're in the UK, one of the friends from school would say, well, look, we're going to the south of France, why don't you come down for a week? And suddenly they're exposed to it. And similarly in the US. And we see that our generation now very much want to mix it up with the other ultra high net worth clients. And there are key areas, certainly in the Mediterranean, that the Asian clients all talk about, you know, Cala di Volpe or Portofino or Saint-Tropez. I mean, these are the places they want to discover. And once they've been a few times, the yacht enthusiast will then think he's really knowledgeable, because he'll be saying to his friends, look, forget Saint-Tropez, there's a little port called Cassis, or I don't know the Pokerol Islands, you know, you must go to the Pokerol Islands. And suddenly the word spreads and they start going further afield and understand what a yacht can do for them in terms of having an environment around them that they're comfortable in and moving the yacht around.
Are there appropriate cruising areas in Asia if they wanted to stay within their backyard?
There are. I think Phuket is probably the biggest center for cruising. A lot of yachts down in Singapore, which offers some cruising grounds, but they're still in the Singapore area. It's more day or weekend cruises. Whereas the Phuket yachts, actually, they go on board for 4 or 5 days, up to a week, and go out cruising. And Phuket also attracted a number of Northern European owners to bring their boats down, and also quite a lot of Russian clients were taking their yachts down there to go somewhere different other than the Med.
Where do you see the Asian market in 10 years?
I think, unfortunately, we've seen the Asian market stall a little bit. There were the riots in Hong Kong, problems in China, and then COVID, of course, which really put the brakes on, because we were starting to see a lot more charters coming out of Asia as a whole. So Asian clients coming over to Europe and starting to charter some of the larger yachts. And that led to some new construction yachts for Asian clients, but predominantly to be left in the Mediterranean seems to be the favored cruising grounds. Occasionally the yachts would go out to Hong Kong or Singapore, and it was a little bit, you know, to show some of the family and show some of the friends that they've got this wonderful yacht, and then it would generally be repositioned back in the Mediterranean. The Asians in general are fairly territorial. Some of the Hong Kong clients will have their yachts in places like Phuket. We know of a number of clients who are into diving, and they have a yacht in Phuket, and they go out for dive weekends and spend 3 or 4 days and come back because it's three-hour flight, so it's more convenient. But predominantly in Europe and the US. So I think the evolution, to get back to your question, let us hope that we're going to be through COVID and travel restrictions will be lifted very soon, and quarantining. And then I think we'll go through a period of some more chartering over the next 4 or 5 years. And then I think the market will open up into the sell purchase market. And I think construction new builds will be the first step. And the problem with the new builds with the Asians is that they like everything quick, 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 fast, fast, fast. So we'll have to wait for the shipyards to have a bit more availability.
Yeah, they are slam packed right now. I mean, you know, there's waiting periods.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe we'll see some brokerage action, but I think it's a couple of years away yet.
How do you attract the next generation? And I'm talking, you know, 30 and under. How do you attract them to the yachting industry? What are their desires, and where do you see it going for them in the future?
It's very much a globe-trotting generation. I think they're very informed. They like to be informed. In the past, the older generation clients all knew about sports cars and expensive cars and classic cars. And then gradually there was a phase where the clients all talked about their watches and special watches and private jets. And I think now an ultra high net worth, when he can have a conversation about a yacht and knows a little bit about the builders and which are the reputable builders and which is the biggest yacht out there at the moment, etc. There's kudos there. So they really like to be informed. There's also, you know, we can't get away from instant gratification, and it's being able to deliver to this younger clientele answers immediately. even if you can't deliver the product immediately, they want answers immediately. If they phone one of our charter brokers and say, right, I'm looking to charter a boat in 6 months' time, I'll be in let's say, Greece or Parma or wherever, that charter broker needs to get onto them immediately, because otherwise they'll just move on to the next person. So there's a real emphasis on reaction time initially to win the client's confidence, and then you can work and prove your worth by being diligent and doing your research properly. And as long as the client is informed and kept up to date whilst that is going on, you have a chance of retaining him. But if you go silent on the client, that's it. He will, through a friend, through the internet, through Instagram or whatever, he'll move on to the next charter company, charter broker. So I think instant gratification, as I say, it's the connection and the client knowing that you're looking after him, pampering him, and he wants more information than he already has. So if the client is quite well versed with one of the builders, for example, because he's done research, it's important to introduce the other shipyards that he might not have heard so much about, and suddenly you get the client's attention. The world has changed significantly in the last 20 years, for sure, on that basis. In the earlier days, you know, the brokers used to have a nice big car, because a client would be recommended, we'd meet them in the office, we'd have a coffee, and then we'd literally jump in the car with a client and we would drive through the marinas, we'd visit a couple boats, look at a few boats from the exterior, drop them off at the hotel, have dinner later on, the next day we'd get in the car again. Today, the clients generally phone up and they literally say, look, I'd like to see that boat and that boat. And you say, what about the other boats? No, it's fine. They've already targeted which boats and which type, style, builder, year that they want to see. And they're being quite specific. You know, like you and I would look to buy a new car, we would do the research on the internet and we might go to two showrooms just to actually touch and feel the two models that we think are the right ones. So it's getting towards that. But nothing will replace the personal contact and dialogue with the owner, with his captain, with his engineer, with the build supervisor. Now I'm talking of vessels, you know, sort of 40 meter plus, but the team around the owner is very important.
Let me ask you, as far as new builds, do you anticipate that the next generation is going to want in their new builds?
At the moment, the emphasis is access to the water. On a one-off build, it's really about listening to the client's lifestyle. What is he hoping to get from his yacht? And it today, they talk more about the environment it's going to create and what they're going to be able to do with it. It's a more holistic approach. It's not, oh, well, I want a yacht that's bigger than that particular yacht, or flashier, or a bigger dining room, or faster. It's more how they're going to use it and the atmosphere and the toys they want to bring on board. That's what it's about. Lifestyle.
Yeah, lifestyle. That is one of the things that I've been getting in most of the interviews, is that yachting has now become, you know, specific to a client's, whether it be their family, whether it be their career, whether it be their interests, each yacht is specific to them.
But on the other hand, our charter destinations, the most popular ones are still the rather classic ones of French Riviera, Cannes, Parma. We see that Naples. That's not changed. So those destinations are still very prominent. And I was with a captain on board a couple of days ago in Cannes, and he was telling me the owners asked him to to take the boat into Saint-Tropez in 2 weeks' time. And he had to say, well, that's not possible. We will not get a berth in Saint-Tropez within 2 weeks. So those very special places are still extremely popular, although some of the yachts that you see going there are built and have capabilities of certainly going offshore and away from a harbour for weeks and months on end.
Jeremy, I have to say thank you ever so much for your time. I know it is a massively busy season for you at the moment.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think we'll smash all records on the charter side, certainly this summer. A little bit early to tell yet, and I don't want to jinx it, but that's the way we're heading. The sale purchase activity is high, and we've worked really hard as a team to actually go out and try and find product. So contacting actual owners, making sure they understand that today is a seller's market.
Well, it looks like Ocean Independence is in good hands, and I wish you all the best for the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll have a chance to chat again soon.
Thank you very much, Rhea.
Well, we'll make sure to include not only Jeremy's information underneath this interview when it airs, as well as all of Ocean Independence information. If you are interested in anything to do with yachting, brokerage, selling, buying, new builds, refits, etc., Ocean Independence is the place to go. I want to say thank you. This has been Jeremy, the sales broker and director over at Ocean Independence. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I've been your host. We'll see you again next time.